You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hola! ¿Cómo estás? ¿Cómo están, actually? Man, how are you guys doing? Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I just got back from Los Angeles pretending to be Latino, so I just still got a little bit of that in there. But I'm so glad to be here with you guys. Hey, let's give it up for our audience here. So it's you guys. Welcome at the Hope Center. Glad you're here. Love seeing your faces. And then faces that I can't see this morning. We got Metro in the house. Can we make some noise for Metro? What's up? My peoples. And then we got live stream. What is up, guys? Let's make some noise for them, too. You've been a part of that as well, so we're glad that you guys are joining us. We're in a series that we're kicking off this morning, but we've been doing this like for the last several years. If you've been with us, you're like, I've kind of heard this series before, like this glow idea. I've heard it. Yeah, this is the third time we're doing it. We're super creative, people. We're super creative. We've just blown our minds right here. Let's repeat everything. That's what we're going to do. The reason why we do GLOW, the series, is because we want to remind ourselves about this idea that we have to remember that we have to do things that come against our greed and our selfishness. And what that means, though, is that I don't know about you, but I just tend to be greedy. I like stuff. I want to have stuff. And then when we do the series called GLOW, we talk about generosity. And that is like giving of ourselves, making sacrifices so other people can be blessed. And I just want to say, I mean, having this conversation with this community is easy because you guys are generous. I mean, you're super generous. And the fact that we've been able to bless our community locally, globally, and nationally, and we're going to continue to do that, is really a great conversation. So GLOW is about that. And if you remember, we've been talking about it. And so we collect items. We've collected all kinds of things, socks, shoes, underwear, not really. Actually, we did once. It's a bad idea. But anyways, we did all kinds of things that just remind us that we need to give back to our community. And so GLOW is that conversation. But this morning, though, as we kick off the third year of GLOW, I've been trying to rack my mind like, okay, let's get creative ideas. How can I present this in a different way? And actually, I came up with this big thought, and I thought, it just sounds cool, but actually, it is a deep truth, especially that I believe. And so I want to convince you of that. And so here's the deal, okay? Before we pray together, I want to just give you the message. I'll just give you the sermon in a sentence. So if you're taking notes, you like tweeting, This is it, okay? This morning, I want you to stop being a Christian. Yes. You're like, okay, now we leave. Yeah, I knew this guy was weird. Now, I want you to stop being a Christian, okay? Now, for some of you, you're like, okay, there's something to that, of course. So let's try that. Can we do this? Can we just turn to each to your neighbor, and you're thinking, I'm not going to say that because I don't even believe it. But just please, can you just do it? Actually, you do this. Tell your neighbor, stop being a Christian. You're not that good at it anyways. Okay? Yeah. Try that. Let's try that. And now, go. Metro, do it. Okay? Don't be mean about it. Don't be mean about it. Okay? All right. Okay, that's good. You got your frustrations out? You're like, yeah, especially today. You're terrible. Okay, anyways, let's do this. Let's pray together. And let's find out what does that even look like and what does that mean? And what is God trying to say in the midst of everything that you're going through? What does it mean? And why is this important? And why in the world did you choose to get up or log in and, you know, just be in this conversation? Maybe there's something inside of you that's calling you to more and that you're hoping and praying that maybe there is a word, there is a message, maybe there's something your soul really desperately needs to hear. So let's pray together and let's jump in. Lord God, thank you so much for this morning. God, I pray, God, that that as we enter into this moment, we acknowledge and we rest in this confidence that you're with us. You're with us. And that regardless how alone we feel, you're with us. And so, Father, I pray that for my friends here at Metro and even live stream and whoever else watches this later on during the week, God, I just know that your spirit has the power to disregard time and space. And you can speak to our souls in such a profound way. God, that's what we're here this morning for. That's what we're here. That's what we're listening in. We're tuned in. So God, we need you to speak to us, and we want to lean in and hear you. We have all kinds of issues and all kinds of things. We're trying to figure out what you're saying to us. So that's why we're here. We're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the big idea, right? The big idea is don't be a Christian. What does that look like? Let me ask you this. Have you ever felt hopeless or helpless? Have you? Like, so I've been, in the last several weeks, I've been in L.A., New York, Louisiana, hello, that was fun, and Anderson, South Carolina, whoo, that was good, and some other places as well, I think I can't even remember, Atlanta, any Atlanta fans in the house? Not really. That's why we moved. Okay, all right, that's good. One of the things I found myself that I'm helpless at is when you are waiting for a flight and it just decides to be late. It decides to just keep on going, and they delayed the flight, and they delayed the flight, and they delayed the flight, and they delayed the flight. And I've been sitting there for like 4.5 hours. You know what's really, I feel super helpless? Is like when you're in the plane, you're on the plane, and you're about to take off, and they go, oh, there's some issues. Give us five minutes. Okay. Then they come back on. Hey, sorry, give us 10 more minutes. Okay. All right. Hey, we're going to go back in so we can have some, fix the plane or something. I don't know. We lost an engine. I don't even know what, you know, and then they go back in there and then you're on the tarmac. You're on, like you're about to go, but you're not going. Like, I don't mind sitting like in the airport, but when you're on a plane, when you're in it and you're on it with everybody around you, and the air starts to lose. Have you been there? Like, there's not a lot of air, and then people ate things that they shouldn't have eaten, and it's just, there's a tension buildup. Have you ever been in a plane that people, you can just feel the tension, like, people are about to, like, hurt each other. It's like, and you feel, I'm like, in moments like that, I feel it's totally helpless. I'm like, can I just do something? And it's funny because I found myself like, those are just like comical things, I think, because you can just get over those. But then I find myself in life where I go through a season and I find myself just so helpless. Like, I can't do anything. It's like being on a plane, I can't do anything. I can't leave from the plane. I can't, like, it's like physically unable to do this. Have you found yourself there? I mean, are you possibly there today? Like, you're in a situation where you're like, you know what? I don't know if this season is going to end, you know, for me. I don't know. I've been wondering if this is ever going to turn out the way I think it should turn out, and if this is this business going to turn around, or is marriage going to turn around, are things just going to turn around? Is this as good as it gets, is life going to get any better? You know, how long should I wait for to find someone? How long should I wait for, you know, to find the career I really am passionate about? I mean, you just find yourself helpless. You know, I was talking to a friend several months ago, and just talking about how in my season, in the last couple of years, I've gone through a season, I think, of not, I don't know if it was hopelessness, but maybe probably helplessness, because If you know my story at all, you know the last 2 years, like, I had some debts in my family, and my dad passed away, and then my brother-in-law passed away, I remember talking to this pastor friend of mine, and we just, you know, it's great therapy talking to guys, you know, who are in the same season in your life, and he said, I think your soul is sad. And I was like, you're right. I'm sad. Like, he's known me for over a decade. And he was like, I think you're sad. And I was like, I think I am, man. I think I am. And it's partly because I'm helpless in terms of, like, I want to bring, you know, relief to my sister. I want to fix things. Have you ever wanted to just fix things and you can't fix it? And because you can't fix it, you're not hopeless, you're just helpless. You're like, I just want to do this. And then it turns into hopelessness. I think sometimes it turns into, like, I don't even know anymore. Like, I don't even know anymore. Has something ever happened to you where you find yourself, I just don't know anymore. Like, I'm not sure about anything. I mean, I know people at Mosaic, and I've had great conversations with people who, after a tragedy, they go, I don't know if I believe this stuff. And I'm like, hey, I'm glad you just said it. It's okay. It's okay to go, I don't even know. But you know, with helplessness and hopelessness, it turns into this idea that you are all alone. Like, you're alone in the world and no one understands. Have you ever been there? Like, have you ever, like, thought, no one gets it? Like, I'm all alone. Like, no one gets me or no one understands. What do you do when you're helpless and you're hopeless? You know, how do you hold on to hope? How do you hold on to everything that you believe? How do you hold on to the good things in your life? And what does that have to do with the series, Glow? Well, see, Jesus talks about this idea that we're the light of the world. And he says, you know, you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And for some of us, we're like, yeah! And for the rest of us, you know, who are in this season, you're like, ah. Okay, that's sweet. That's cool. I need a light. I don't want to be a light. I need a smoke, actually. Yeah, I need something else. I need something. It's not even legal. But I need it. You know, it's like it's moments like that. You go, I don't want to be the light of the world. I just need some light in my life, you know? And so this morning I want to talk about this idea that God's called you to be a light, God's called us to be a light, and what does it look like, and why is this idea of being a Christian actually come against this idea of helplessness and hopelessness? So why is it that actually focusing on being a Christian is not really the answer? It's not even anything that Jesus had in mind. In fact, I would tell you this, Jesus never called you a Christian. He never did. In fact, Jesus didn't rise, he didn't die, and rise from the dead so you could become a Christian. It's not in the scriptures. It's not. He died, and he was tortured, he died, he rose, and not that you could become a Christian, but because you could become the church. And so this morning, I just want you to know that if you find yourself helpless and hopeless, the answer is not in trying to be a Christian. It's being and becoming the church. There's this power in this collective. There's this power in understanding that you're a part of something that's bigger and better. See, the truth is that when it comes to Christianity or calling yourself a Christian, and people go, "I'm a Christian because I'm a good Christian." Have you ever heard that phrase? Right? Be a good Christian. Like, marry a good Christian girl. Anybody? No one's heard that because you didn't. Okay, that's good. Okay, how about marry a good Christian boy? Right? Be a good Christian. That I think is the enemy of Jesus sometimes, because it's not even the message of Jesus, because just being a Christian is not the big idea of Jesus. Because, you know, sometimes we just realize that we think that this personal relationship with Jesus is the foundation of Christianity. And so you've heard this, right? Have a personal relationship with Jesus, which is interesting, because that didn't come about till, like, you know, hundreds of years later. It's actually a Western thought of having a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have a relationship with God, that there's this thing that Jesus has done where he's opened up heaven for you and you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's a very real thing. But when you start beginning to identify yourself as a person who is a Christian, who has a personal relationship with Jesus, people usually tend to think that you don't need the church, that I'm a Christian, I need God. Like, I mean, in fact, I mean, churches believe that. I mean, I was on a website of a church, and the church said, hey, we're a church for people who've not given up on God, but have given up on the church. And I thought, oh, that sounds awesome and cool, but not hopeful, not helpful. Because the end all, the goal to which all of us are moving towards, the story of God that's been written, the end of this is that we actually become the church, that we are the church, that God's that Jesus came to build a church, not a Christian, not good Christian people. Because you know this, right? Someone told you this morning, I'm sure, that you were not a good Christian. Did anybody tell you that? They did. See? You're not even good at it. And for some of you, I know you're not good at it. I work with you. You're on staff. Like, I know that. All right? You're just not. See, I think our hope is found in us being the church. The church. That you're part of something. That God says, hey, here's what I need you to understand. That your life in me and your purpose in me is going to be found in the context of community, in the context of other people in your life. Do you know that the most courageous things you have done in your life have been through with people? And the most cowardice things you've done in your life have been all alone. I know that's true of me. It is interesting because have you ever stole Wi-Fi, anybody? Or borrowed it? Okay, borrowed it, right? Have you ever stolen or borrowed someone else's faith and courage? I think you have. You don't even know it. You have. Like have you ever hung out with friends and someone throws out an idea and it's kind of out there and then someone says, let's do this. You know you've borrowed someone else's faith. You've borrowed someone else's courage to do it. Because when you're all alone, you look in the mirror and go, I can do this. You never say, let's do this. No, you say, let's do this in the context of community, when you're together. I was recently driving with Sheldon, who goes to the Metro campus, and we were hanging out, and we were going somewhere. It was the first time riding with him, and I don't know if it's a thing. You know, it's the first time riding with a guy, and with him at least, and not that I haven't ridden with guys before. I have. Anywho, and so he goes, we were driving somewhere, and he goes, hey, how many accidents have you been in? So this is a weird question, right? Sheldon, if you're there at Metro, that was a weird question. I was like, you're driving, first time, I'm in the front seat, and then you turn and you go, so how many wrecks have you been in? Like, are we going in for another one? Like, what are we doing here? I was like, what? Or he's like, just ask it. I was like, okay, hold on, let me just put on my extra seat belt. I don't know, like, what are we doing here? And so as we started talking about it, back in the day, like when I was in Kuwait, if you don't know, I'm from the Middle East, and so I grew up there, and so most of my teenage years were in Kuwait, and my friends were like older and rich, and so with rich, older friends who are young, and in Kuwait, you have nothing much to do but except race cars, and so we were like fast and furious, like you're right, and we were like, we would race every weekend with cars, and so I've been in a lot of wrecks, okay, a lot of wrecks, never me driving, obviously, I was too young, but I've been in wrecks, and what's interesting, though, is I sometimes look back and go, what was I thinking? I could have died then, I could have died then, I could have died then, or I could have done this, and then I think of all the courageous things we've done, and it's because of my darn friends. It's because of my friends. I got into so much trouble because of my friends. I got arrested in Kuwait. That's no fun. In jail, in Kuwait, no fun at all. Because of my friends. Because of my friends. But when I think now, the things that I've been able to accomplish in my life is because of friends. It's because of the people around me. It's this idea of together, like when I'm all alone, I'm kind of helpless and hopeless, but together, man, together, I'm like powerful because I borrow or steal your courage. I borrow and steal like your faith, your hope. I kind of take it. That's why you like hanging out with positive people. Because you know, if you're having a bad day, it's about to change. Because you're going to go there and they're going to give you, I mean, unless they are super annoying, That's a different time. That's a different conversation. But you steal their hope. You steal their faith. See, I think together we are, at least in the scriptures, we are powerful, but we're actually potent and powerful. We are these two things. We're potent and we are powerful. I think of this idea of being potent. Anybody looking forward to Thanksgiving? Anybody? Yes. Right? Right? Anybody looking forward to turkey?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Who is not looking forward to turkey? Yes, thank you, my peoples. Right. It smells. It smells. Has anybody told you this? It smells. No. I mean, well, if you cook it right. If you cook it right, you do. Probably at my house with a bunch of Middle Eastern people, we're like, turkey? What do we do? It's a place. We know that. We just, you know, what do you do with this thing? What do we do with this thing? Yeah. But my mom loves to cook. So it's a Pakistani woman, and man, when she cooks, and my wife can attest to this, and everybody who's ever been to my house when she's cooking, I know she's cooking because the smoke of things that are, the air is thick. I mean, not just smoke, because she is burning stuff. She's definitely burning stuff. She's making homemade bread, but then she makes all these dishes, and it's so potent. I mean, hanging out in that house for like, you know, that day where she's cooking, the next couple of days when she leaves, goes back home, and I still smell of her food. I do. I have to take a shower. I have to launder the clothes. I've got to do all that because it's so, so potent. It's like, it's amazing. It's intense, but it stays with you. And so your hope in the midst of helplessness, your hope in the midst of hopelessness is connected to you leaving this idea of being alone and trying to follow God alone and actually moving towards being the church, number one. And then it's understanding that actually together, when we come together, when you lock arms with other people in your life, you're in fact potent and you are powerful. Let me take you a couple of passages of scriptures and I'll explain to you what I mean by this. And so here's what's interesting. You know, what's interesting is this in the Old Testament, there's a story. It's kind of peculiar, but let me read this to you. Or actually, let me give you the context, then I'll read it. It's in 1 Samuel 14, and this is Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of the first king of Israel, Saul. Saul, if you guys know, went psycho. I mean, God kind of replaced him, got David. But his son was actually pretty legit. And so there's a moment where Jonathan is with his dad, and they're trying to defeat these Philistines, and there's an army, and there's a situation where they're trying to wait it out, but Jonathan has another idea. He really believes that if they move in faith, then God will intervene, God will show up and give them victory over a particular battle. And so here's couple of verses that connect to this idea. So it says here, one day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistines' outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Megron. With him were about 600 men. Let's just stop right there. So you have this image where Jonathan goes, he talks to his one other buddy and says, "Hey, let's go to this outpost. Let's go and do something. I have an idea." But he doesn't tell his dad because his dad is kind of waiting it out. See, if you look at Saul's life, even though God had chosen him, even though he was a guy who was called by God to be king, he kind of did everything alone. He really did. He was very self-focused. If you notice, like, if you look at his life, he had a call on God's with God. He had a purpose, but he never really developed a relationship with God. I mean, God gave him chances after chances, but he just kept on doing what he wanted to do. Saul just kind of had his own spirituality, lived his own life and did whatever he wanted to. And this particular time, he's got 600 men, but he's not attacking. He's not doing anything. He's hanging out. He's got another plan. It's kind of a strange thing. He actually eventually dies in battle, but it's really an interesting picture. Now you've got his son who doesn't tell his dad because his dad's not going to listen. And he gets one other guy to lock arms with. One other guy to say, hey, listen, let's do this together. I got an idea. One other guy. And they begin to go do something. Let's just read this out. So verse 6, Jonathan, it goes back and says, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, and I love what he said, okay? So he goes to his armor bearer. He says, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Too much detail. Okay, why? What are you doing here? Why? What's going on here, okay? And you know, I think part of it is because he's trying to motivate this guy. Like, have you ever had a good idea and you go to someone and you go, hey, let's do this. But you have to kind of give it a little, yeah, we're going to do this. So he goes, hey, let's go over and show those uncircumcised men. Like, what? If you're the armor bearer, you're like, okay, all right. He says, let's show them who's boss. And he goes, okay. And then he says this. I love this, okay? So just imagine, you're the young armor bearer, right? And then Jonathan wakes you up and he goes, hey, let's go over there. Okay, and then he says, okay, and then what does he say next? He says, perhaps. What? Let's just read this out. Like, perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Excuse me, what? Maybe? I want to know it's going to happen. Like, you don't motivate people like, I think so, people. Let's do this, perhaps. I don't know. But perhaps the Lord will act if he has the time. Not quite sure. Big world out there. One God. I don't know. Perhaps the Lord will act. And then he says, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether from many or by few. You mean two? Okay. And then this is what the armor bearer says. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. Help me out with this phrase. Metro, help me out. What? I am what? With you, heart and soul. I'm with you, heart and soul. Do you have people in your life that you can go to and go, hey, I want to do this. I want to try this. Let's do this. Let's try that. Let's go this direction. I'm not sure it's going to work. Perhaps the Lord will act. I don't even know. My quiet times are not that good right now. I don't know. And they turn to you and go, I'm with you, heart and soul. I'm with you, heart and soul. How many of you would love someone like that? Would love a person like that? How many of you would love to have friends like that? Heart and soul. I'm with you, heart and soul. See, I wonder if what would have happened if the armor bearer was like, oh, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm not going to do that. Nah. I'm with you from here. I'll pray for you. I will pray for you. You go. I'm not going. Seriously, we're not doing this. You don't even know if this is a God thing. You don't even know if this is a God thing. You could have lied to me. Lie to me. If you're going to motivate me, lie to me. Give me some kind of courage. Perhaps the Lord does not help, bro. Does not help. But this guy was with him. What's the big idea here? The big idea is that so often you and I are failing at things that we are doing because we're doing them all alone. While we could be winning at those things if we just did them together. We're trying things. Some of us are parenting alone. You're leading alone. You're trying new things alone. Well, if you just join together, you could be winning at it. You're following your own dream alone. Alone. You don't have anybody with you who's with you heart and soul. You've never developed that. Because this idea has been that, oh, I just need to be a Christian. No, we are to be the church. See, there is something so powerful that happens when we all come together. Jesus said, when two or more are gathered in my name, just one more person who's with you heart and soul, just one more person that's with you. See, when we join and lock arms together, and for some of you, you know what I mean. You're in a season right now, and you need to lock arms, and you're not locking arms. You are doing this all by yourself, and you think, I'm all by myself. Yeah, you are. You're all by yourself, and maybe you just haven't thought about it. Like, maybe I just need to join forces. But yes, you're in a marriage, but you're all by yourself. You are a parent, but you're all by yourself. You're in this business, and you have employees, but you're all by yourself. But why? Because you just haven't locked arms. We haven't even thought about, okay, hold on. I need to lock arms. I need to go to someone. And so, you know what? I'll wake you up. Let me, hey, I think we should do this. I'm not even sure this is a God thing, but are you willing? Are you willing? And for them to go, I'm willing or not. For some of us, we're just wanting to do this Christianity all by ourselves. And God said, you can't do this by yourself. You are not powerful by yourself. See, Mosaic is a mosaic. Like, you can't have a mosaic with one person. Like, I couldn't go, I'm going to be a mosaic. No, like a mosaic tile, you know, mosaic tiles are like broken pieces, tile coming together to make a beautiful mosaic. If it was just me, it would just be a cracked piece. Like just, which I am one, but anyways, but because I'm with you, I'm beautiful. I need you to make sense of me, right? I need you. We need each other. That's why we're a mosaic. Could it be possible that you're living life by yourself, crowded with friends, but you're doing all the big things in your life all by yourself? And so when you hear Jesus says, you be the light of the world, here's what you interpret. You be the light, all by yourself. And Jesus never meant that. In fact, in the scriptures, so many of the scriptures you and I believe and take personally were said corporately. They weren't just for you. They were for us. They're for us. Here, let me read you a couple of passages here. So Jesus is talking to Peter. Jesus asks, hey, who do you think that I am? And then Peter says, I believe you're the Son, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says this, you've probably heard this before, Matthew 16. He says, I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. First of all, on this rock. Now, he called him Peter the rock, but we have misinterpreted this for generations. He's not saying upon you, Peter, upon you personally, Peter. He's saying upon this rock, this confession, the confession that I am the Messiah. On this confession, I will build my church, that I came, entered human history, I died for sins of humanity, made the way for an open heaven, was buried, rose again, and I'm alive today. And I'm with you. That confession, I'm going to build you, Peter? No. You 12 people? No. The what? Church. I'm going to build the entire group of people, the church. I'm building the church. And then he says this, and guess what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You and me by ourselves, we can be stopped. We can be hindered. Together, we are unstoppable. That's what he's saying. He's saying, by yourself, you might feel deeply helpless and deeply hopeless, but together, you're potent and you're powerful. You've got stuff in you. You're potent. I mean, this is Matthew 5:13. Jesus is talking about salt and light. And this is what he says. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is it if salt has lost its flavor? Can can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. He's basically saying, if you lose your potency, it's over. It's over. And then he kind of just goes into the next thought. And then he says, and by the way, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Jesus is saying, when he says you, he means us. Like, have you ever been super embarrassed? I mean, this just recently happened. Like, I saw someone, they were like, hey. And it happened in the gym, actually. Anyways, but yesterday. But anyways, so someone was like, hey. And I hadn't been there in a while. And I was like, hey, what's up? They weren't even talking to me. It is the worst. I was like so embarrassed. It was like a full on, I was like, what about me? You know, they weren't even talking to me. I wonder if like Peter right here, you know, has the same moment. You're the light of the world. Me? Me? No. Oh, not me. Us. Oh, okay. Also him? Okay. See, we love it. We love it. We love this idea that the scriptures are just for us personally. So you can have a personal relationship. And so you can be a good Christian boy and a good Christian girl. And that is not what Jesus died for. And the promises of God do not exist in that. The promises of God exist, and we are the church. We're together. We're together. That's when we're powerful. That's when we're potent. That's when we're not helpless or hopeless. We are together. We can borrow or steal other people's courage and faith. See, when we're together, when I'm partnering with someone, I'll tell you what, the day I don't have faith, they have it for me. So I'm never without faith. I'm never without hope. Because the day is just not working out. Have you ever had that day? You wake up and it's like, this is not going to be a good day. I just know it. It started off with, like, I ran out of coffee. You know, like, it just started off wrong, right? And you're superstitious, so you know everything is going downhill, right? But you walk in and you go, you talk to someone that you've partnered in life, in a particular area of your life, maybe in your business, and you go, it's going to be okay. For some of you parents, you're stressed out moms. You're stressed out and you're worried. Or dads, you're stressed out and you're worried about your kids and what's going on in your life is because you've been parenting alone. You do this alone. And you have never said this, but you go, you take care of you, I take care of me, okay? You've never done it together. Man, if you did it together, you'll always have faith. You'll always have hope. You'll always have courage. Always. All the time. What area of your life are you really trying and losing and failing alone, where you could be winning and successful and victorious if you just locked arms, if you understood, hey, I'm called to be the church. We're the church. What would it look like if you were connected? See, that's why, like in the beginning when we saw the video of our Christmas offering. And so when we do a series called Glow, we always do a Christmas offering. And what that means is we ask you to give over and beyond. And you know, I got to be honest with you guys. I mean, like, there are people, just being flat out honest, I mean, I hate talking about money. We don't pass the plate. You guys know this. Metro, you guys know this as well. We just don't do it. Live stream, we don't pass the plate because we can't live stream. Anyways, but we just don't. I just believe that I don't want to take. I don't want to teach anybody to take. I believe in teaching people to give and be generous. And so you guys are generous. But we have a budget to you know, make and hit. And then we also have people who have been giving to this like a campaign that started a year ago called Hope for All. And so that allowed us to expand, build a purchase another space back there, start Metro, and so people are giving to that as well. And then this year, I thought, you know what? Let's do a Christmas offering, but let's just give all the money away. And I remember talking to our staff, and we were talking about this. And I mean, no one wanted to say it, but like, are you serious? this is the dumbest idea. Like, why would we want to do that? I mean, people are giving to this, people are giving to that, and now you want to take 50 grand and just give it all away? Like, give it all away, like locally, globally, nationally. We want to give to hurricane relief, but also disaster relief with all kinds of things going on this year. There's been a lot. We want to give to our local partners with Whining Springs Elementary. I mean, we're doing turkey meals for them for 25 families. That's amazing. But we want to just give more to them for their summer school program. We want to give globally to churches, to DR work that we've been doing for so long. And in fact, we also want to do a reverse tithe thing that we'll talk about a little bit later. But anyways, as we talked about this idea of doing even more, you know, we just thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is pretty hard because we have all these things that we want to accomplish. But here's what I know. What I know is this. If we do this together, we can do this. If we do this together, we can do this. I know that this idea, this principle, that we can become the church, that when we become the church and when we do things together, we can actually win. We can do more. I believe this so much. And so here's what I want you to know this. Okay, I love you, Metro, live stream especially. There's a huge live stream community that we have now. Hey, if you've been a part of Mosaic, I want you to give. Like, I want you to come together. I want you to be the church, be Mosaic. Not just attend Mosaic, not just say I go to Mosaic. No, be Mosaic. And that means I want you to be with us. Like, do ministry with us. Invite people together. Let's do that together. Let's give together. Some of you have never invited someone, never, to this, because you're working on your own relationship with Jesus. Well, that's awesome and pretty and cute. But that is not Jesus' mind. That is not his heart. That is not what he died for. He died for the church, for the world. And you're part of that conversation. You're called to be a part of that. And so let's invite together. Let's give together. Some of you, you've never given to Mosaic. You need to give. You need to be a part of this. And you're like, nothing. You just need to. How much? I don't even care. I don't even care. All I'm saying is, you got a partner. You're trying to grow all by yourself. You've never been part of a group or a Bible study or something. You're doing this all alone. Friend, you can't do this. You can't just, no, when we're generous together, when we grow together, when we're loving together, when we lead together, when we live together, when we do things together, we are so potent and so powerful. And that is the answer to some of the areas of your life. Let me read you our benediction one more time. We'll read this, obviously, at the end of our service. And if you've been with us, you know this by heart, okay? But I'm gonna slowly read this. This is Ephesians 3:20, just the first verse of our two-verse benediction. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within. I'm sorry, what? Us. Not me. Us. Us. It's always been the story of us. Us. So, what's the next thing you need to do? What is the next thing you need to do? Let me pray for you. Lord God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this conversation. I thank you, Lord God, that we are people who are leaning in right now to know, to hear you. And Father, I thank you for Mosaic. I thank you for our online community, for Metro, for Hope Center. I thank you for in these communities that we gather together, in these spaces that we gather together, though we are segmented, though we are not in the same big room at the same time, we want to be, and my prayer is that we will become a mosaic, that we would become the church, that we would be people that truly reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus, which starts with us rejecting this idea of trying to just be a good Christian. But God, we would focus on being the church. Being the church. God, I pray that in the midst of all the things that we are going through and we're facing, the prayers on the cross that we're going to even put up this morning at both of our campuses, the things that we are longing for, I pray, God, that you would give us an idea of who to partner with so we could actually win together where we're failing alone. I pray, God, that we would make the ask, we would take the initiative, we would do what we know what we should do, come together. God, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.